now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Ali Shilton.
And I'm Rose France. And today on the show, the Creative Youth Network.
Mark Farash will be joining us live to talk about the organisation and what they offer.
And Jack of Hearts.
We'll be talking to Lev Rosen about his new book.
All in the next hour on Shout Out.
Oh my God, who are you?
Yeah, I know, it's been a while. I'm Rose. Hello, everybody. Hello, listeners.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. Yes.
Always sounding a lot better.
Well, you know, it's getting there. It's some people may have heard my interview with Steph where I explained about my voice, but you know, it's coming back and it's all good.
It's a lot better than it was last time.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Thank you. So. I have to do lots of, you know. You know how like actors sort of warm up and it goes on for hours. And it's funny because I think probably since I saw you last, I've been on tour with a theatre show, and so I have to go through all this with the actors every single performance.
Right.
You know, they have to do it, so I have to facilitate it. So I've learned some things from them.
And it's helped your voice?
Well, yeah, kind of. When we all have time to do these things, I don't know.
Do you do the scales like la 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 la?
It's more about sort of.
No, because
you're that scale.
No,
it's on a scale or something. I'll tell you that.
He's going to cut that out. I know it.
Yeah.
Well, you just told me we wanted
to put it back in.
It's more about the old loosening of the muscles and things like that.
I see.
Being relaxed, I think.
Right.
Yeah. My glasses keep banging on the microphone. That's quite weird. But anyway, never mind. Can you hear it? Crash.
Yeah, I have the same issue. When I'm doing my Friday show and I'm looking down at the traffic reports and stuff, I keep back. I'm exactly like you.
How's that?
Andy's adjusted me now, as it were. And now.
Maybe I should get him in on the Friday. You can adjust me.
Yeah, the microphone adjuster.
No, thank you.
It'll be a new film.
I think I'll skip that one if you know.
The adjuster is coming to you. So, what have we got on the show today? We've said, haven't we? I'm very excited, about our guest. I've had a pre-chat to him.
You've been in contact with him. Did I say his surname correctly? How did you say it? Rosen?
Rosen.
Rosen. Yeah. Oh, I did
Rosen.
Say it right.
Oh, yes. Rosen. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, Lev Rosen. It's a book called Jack of Hearts. And Penguin Publishing kind of contacted us.
We got contacted by Penguin, could
we have a chat with the author? So yep. He is
to listeners, it wasn't an actual penguin that swam up the river asked us to do the book.
Thank you, dear.
Just saying.
I think most people have heard of Penguin Publishing.
I know. He's got a good publisher, bless him.
Yes, and it's a good book.
Yeah. You're enjoying it.
It's quite funny and slightly pornographic.
Mm.
Slightly.
And who was it? You said what's his name? What was his name? You were telling me that someone had quoted about it earlier.
Oh, yes, Julian Clary.
That's it.
Oh, yeah,
now,
yeah,
Julian Clary's quote about it was, "This book is filth."
Yeah, well, that says it all.
So, there we go.
And coming up in a minute, we've got the Brixlow My Five, so we'll be catching up with them. Plus, in the middle of the show, Mark Farash is going to be talking to us. He's sat in the background. Hello, Mark.
Yeah.
He's waving.
He's going to be talking to us about the Creative Youth Network.
That was a bit like catchphrase? Where he used to go, "Say goodbye to Mr. Chips, he's waving."
Yeah, it's a good radio moment when people wave. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Anyway, shall we go over and catch up with our friends at Brixlow?
Yes, let's do that.
My Five on Shout Out.
Hi everyone, and welcome to February's Brixlow 5 podcast. I'm Alid. You've heard my voice before, but I'm joined by someone new this month, one of our volunteers. Say hello, Andy.
Hi, I'm Andy. I've currently been a volunteer with Brixtow for all about the last 5 years as a peer mentor, and I'm joining Alid for the podcast maybe today, and who knows what's in the future.
Potentially, yeah, why not?
Like, absolutely.
Yeah, this could be the start of the new relationship for your podcast. So you've got two new voices this month. So first off, let's mention we're in February, and February is LGBT History Month, and we can't really talk about LGBT History Month without mentioning HIV and AIDS in that story. It is a massive part of our history, would you?
Absolutely, yeah. I've personally been involved with that history for the last 30 years. And the changes that have sort of come about are absolutely amazing. They really are, from when a diagnosis with a death sentence to now a very livable, manageable condition.
Completely. And I always like to say that people now are aiming to get to a place where they are living positively with HIV, yeah, rather than being HIV positive.
That's right. That's it. Being positive about being positive is such an important way of looking on it.
Yes. So there's a lot of stuff happening right now with regards to HIV and the story of HIV and where we are today as we were 30 years ago. So, you know, today the meds are incredible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they're kind of, they're helping us live normal life, near normal life expectancy, whatever normal is in the realms. But we have stuff like PEP and PrEP now, so post-exposure prophylaxis and pre-exposure prophylaxis. So right now we are in a great time of technology and medical advancements where it's not an unrealistic view to completely end new diagnosis of HIV by 2030, which is
absolutely it. We need sort of organizations, the government, etc., to get behind PrEP and PEP, start before it becomes an issue.
Yeah,
it's exactly the same with the contraceptive pill.
Yeah, and you know, the health minister has recently come out and publicly said that he wants to commit to ending new diagnoses of HIV by 2030. So we just need to keep reminding him of that. So he doesn't forget.
Absolutely, because unfortunately there is so little publicity around HIV and AIDS these days. It's sort of, the last big one was the tombstones where it frightened the living daylights out of everybody, but since then it's just drifted away. It's not spoken about, it's not mentioned, there's nothing in the press.
Yeah.
Apart from when a celebrity comes out as being positive, then all of a sudden it's there for a couple of days, and then it's on to the next sort of news.
It is. So, all LGBT plus people this month, continue to live your best life, carry on being the way that we are and being fabulous. And if you are HIV positive or not, then come and talk to us, come and see what we're about, which is a nice segue to what I'm just about to say. So you may notice that Polly isn't here, or you can't hear her voice. But
I'm definitely not Polly.
You're definitely not Polly. But Polly has decided to move on to Pastures New, and she has got a new, brand new, amazing job, still within the charity sector, but unfortunately not with Brixtow. But that has meant that I have now just been offered, and I have accepted, the fundraising and communications manager post, which I will be starting at the end of February, which is really, really exciting.
Amazing news.
Yes, after 2 years of volunteering with Brixtow, I'm now going to be employed by them, which is incredible. And
God help them.
Yeah. And how long have you been volunteering for
Brixtow? I've been volunteering for about 5 years, although I've been sort of dealing with Brixtow for about the last 12.
And how have you found volunteering with Brixtow?
It's absolutely amazing. The reason I sort of got involved with volunteering is because Brixtow had been there for me for 7 or 8 years prior to me volunteering, and literally stopped me becoming homeless on 2 occasions. And basically, by me volunteering and becoming a peer mentor, I wanted to give something back, just a little something, just a little bit of my time. And it is just such an amazing thing to do.
It is amazing, and it's an amazing organisation. So anybody out there, if you are considering about volunteering, please consider Brigstow as a charity that you think that you may be able to donate a couple of hours here or there with. If you are interested in volunteering with Brigstow, then pop onto our social media. We're on Instagram, Twitter and Facebook, or just pop online to our website at www.brigstow.org. All the information on there, contact us through there, and then more than likely me, when I'm in post, will get back to you. But this is all for this month. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And yeah, we will see you all next month. Bye.
Bye until next month.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
There you go. That's Lady Gaga.
Lovely.
And Remember Us This Way. It's from the film A Star Is Born.
Yeah, in fact, she won the Golden Globe, didn't she, for Best Song.
Did she?
For A Star Is Born, that song won the Golden Globe. Oh. And she's up for an Oscar for Best Actress.
Oh, now is it the Oscars that's not having a host this year?
Yeah, I know, it's quite strange, isn't it?
It is the Oscars, isn't it? Or is it BAFTAs?
It's the Oscars that are up for no... They're going to have sort of a series of hosts, as it were, different actors coming up and saying...
Hello, Terry.
Good evening. Yes, Lady Gaga. Yes, comes from Radio Gaga, the Queen song.
That's where she got the idea from.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, though, isn't it? She's up against our Olivia Colman in the Best Actress category.
For The Favourite.
Yeah, for The Favourite.
Yes, I've heard that's a fantastic... I've seen any clips of it on TV. Yeah. It's brilliant, apparently.
Yeah, it's very good.
And welcome back to our Diane.
Oh, good evening.
How are you?
Very good, thank you.
First time in the news.
This is my first time.
Well, shall we get some news headlines, then?
You're more than welcome.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 7th of February.
Skin, the lead singer of the 90s rock band Skunk and Nancy, and whose solo career has taken in public speaking, activism and being a techno DJ, was on the sofa on BBC One's Thursday night politics programme this week, on the night the snow fell. Skin is an out and proud bisexual black woman, and as the author of a major study of women in rock music has put it, she is an inspiration for many younger women of colour finding their voice. Now, Skin is promoting a new Skunk and Nancy album, and she was also talking about the current political scene. She explained that in her analysis, the 90s and noughties saw major reforms in terms of gay, lesbian and bisexual rights, and also a breakout for trans and non-binary gender identities. At the same time, racism became much less acceptable, and people of colour in Britain and America took their rightful place in politics, corporations and in business. This, she feels, has prompted a backlash from some white Middle Englanders who've responded by voting for parties such as the UK Independence Party or backing the vote to leave the European Union. So now, she argues, is the time for us to be vigilant in defence of hard-won progress. The This Week programme goes out at 11:45 on BBC One every Thursday and is hosted by the former Sunday Times editor Andrew Neil. Regular contributors include Michael Portillo, who kind of came out as bisexual after many years of rumours in the gay press, and Ken Livingstone, who used to read Gay Times magazine when head of the GLC and as London mayor implemented an early form of civil partnerships register.
The weekly paper The New European names transphobic columnist Julie Burchill as Moonbat of the Week for her latest anti-European remarks. Miss Burchill is one of the most iconoclastic journalists to emerge in recent decades, a product of Brislington School in Bristol. She has been accused by her detractors of changing her position as frequently as the wind blows. She has been bitterly opposed to transgender self-determination and used her column in various papers to vilify the community. The New European says that in a recent opinion poll, Burchill claimed that she and other Brexit advocates are futurists. This is unfortunate, given that the futurists were an early 20th century art movement that embraced fascism and threw in its lot with dictators such as Mussolini.
The communist daily paper, The Morning Star, reports that the left-wing comic writer and comedian Jeremy Hardy has died at the age of 57. Left-leaning LGBT activists have been amongst those paying their respects online. Mr. Hardy passed on from cancer, surrounded by family and friends. He was a contributor to such well-regarded comic television programmes as Blackadder on BBC One and Spitting Image on ITV. The Morning Star added that he was a committed socialist and a prominent campaigner to free Danny McNee, an Irish worker wrongly convicted of involvement in the IRA's 1982 bombing of Hyde Park. Mr. Hardy supported gay and lesbian rights and wrote articles for publications on the political liberal left, including The Guardian and Red Pepper UK.
Dear Zoo is a charming children's book published in 1982 and a popular read ever since. However, the title found itself in the middle of a somewhat manufactured storm last week after two tabloid newspapers, not known for their responsible reportage, claimed that their old bourgeois PC campaigners and gender activists were trying to get the book banned. The Street Sold magazine, The Big Issue, decided to investigate. They concluded that the story was nearly a total fabrication and designed to whip up anger in uniformed Middle England. In reality, a single blog post published by the equality group Let Toys Be Toys had cited the book as an example of how many children's titles do not include many female characters. There were no calls for any books to be banned, and no such campaign has ever existed. The Big Issue reports that Let Toys Be Boys organisation, which campaigns on gender equality for all children, has refused to allow the misinformation about it to go unchallenged and has asked both newspapers for an apology and correction.
And finally, with the new series of Star Trek Discovery now appearing on Netflix and containing gender fluidity and non-heterosexual relationships, LGBT fans of science fiction might also like to know that an earlier foray into the Star Trek universe, Deep Space Nine, is getting a rerun on the Horror Channel in the UK. By turns camp and deadly serious, DS9 shows at 6 p.m. on weeknights and has an omnibus outing on Sundays from 10 a.m. The Horror Channel is available at Sky 317, Freeview 70, Virgin 149 and Freesat 138.
For these news stories and more, visit our website at Shoutout Radio LGBT.
For Shoutout News, it's been Terry Starr
and Diana Carver.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's She Moves. Featuring Graham Candy, and it's by Ali Farben.
It's really nice. I love that song. I said she does indeed move. Yeah.
It's got quite a nice, like.
Yeah, you know, I like it.
I mean, it's like Mars bopping along, too.
It's like an unusual beat to it, isn't it?
Yeah.
So good.
So anyway, yeah. So welcome back.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
No, I thought you were in with the sisters a little while ago, but you weren't, were you?
You've
been
here
since
ago.
We moved studios.
Yeah, no, I didn't even know you were here, to be honest.
Long-time listeners will have heard us talk to Mark before, because you came in initially with the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence way back when. Are you still with the sisters, Evan?
I am indeed.
So still going well?
Yeah, it's still all kind of moving. We're mostly kind of doing, we're doing less on the streets at the moment and more kind of focused events, so
right.
We do things to like raise money around Somerset and Gloucester, so
oh, right. Yeah. Cool. Well, no, of course that's not what you're here to talk to us about, though, is it?
No, it is not.
The Creative Youth Network.
That is correct.
Go on, give us a synopsis. What is it?
So Creative Youth Network is a young people's charity,
right,
based all around the city of Bristol, and it well, I've got to describe my job now. That's a difficult thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what is your role within that organisation?
Yeah, oh, should I do that one now?
Yes, let's do it.
So within the organisation, I'm a youth worker on the sex and relationships team. So I focus, while I do kind of youth work as well, I look at things like sexual health, talking about healthy relationships and helping people kind of unpick what that actually means for them.
Right.
We also work with people like, particularly young men who may be at risk of perpetrating things like sexual violence or be sexually abusive or coercive in the future, who are maybe at risk of that, and kind of helping them not fall into that cycle.
So that's quite a tall order there. What, you know, that description of your job is really, you know, it's quite something, isn't it?
How
did you get into that? Yeah, it's
kind of. And then when we say youth, what kind of age are we talking? Yeah. Then?
It's mostly 11 to 18, sometimes 19, depending on circumstances, but typically 11 to 19. So it's 18 even. So it's like young people as opposed to children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I've not heard of the Creative Youth Network before. So is that my ignorance, or is it a newer thing?
We are literally everywhere.
Recently, how long ago did it start?
Oh god, I don't even know, to be honest. A while ago. We've recently exploded with kind of new commissioning and stuff like that. Right. So it's kind of, it's just recently kind of become more of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of noticed on the website they're talking about the numbers gone through. It's over 4,000 young people have gone through.
Oh yeah,
that, you know, that organisation and received help of various kinds. Tell us a little bit about the sort of help and support you give then in general as an organisation.
Oh, as an organisation,
So
we run like a number of open access sessions. You've probably seen stuff happening around the station. That's where in
the old fire station.
The old fire station. That's correct. Where things like Brook and other services like that are. We're based in there. We run a number of like open access sessions there for people to kind of. Young people to be off of the streets and like come somewhere warm. There's some food, pool table where they can kind of just come and be without being moved on or in trouble. We also run like a series of LGBT youth groups particularly for like the north and south of Bristol.
Because
I think we're going to talk about that later, so I won't kind of expand on that. And we do a lot of what we do is youth work based. So kind of people get referred to us, and we work around specific issues as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, obviously we are, you know, an LGBTQ, you know, station program. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'd like to hear a little bit about that. I mean, what, why is the organisation? Why is Creative Youth Network, you know, sort of particularly reaching out to that group of young people? You know, how are their lives, sort of, and their circumstances, sort of inhibiting them, you know, in life, as it were?
So for me, it's my favourite part of the job.
Yeah. Okay.
Because it's just in particularly around where we work. So the north and south, where we do the LGBT groups, called Proud to Be. In the north on a Tuesday evening and in the south on a Friday evening. Those areas are, like, I'm not going to tar people with the same brush, but they're not particularly well known for being accepting of people who may be different. And therefore, young people in those areas may kind of want to find a space close to them that they can just kind of be without being, you know, without being harassed or in trouble, or like a place nearby that they can be without kind of discreetly, without kind of having to come out to their parents.
Right, okay.
It may also be that, because like we've worked closely with Freedom Youth as part of Off the Record, it may just be as well, like, they're based in the centre of Bristol, so we can just kind of cover the, like, the areas that are hard to get to the centre.
Right, okay.
So are you still finding a lot of homophobia going on and that the kids are experiencing then?
Yeah. I think it differs from, say, 30 years ago. But a lot of them do kind of generally feel uncomfortable. You're still hearing things like, "That's so gay, kind of stuff. And that's not exactly kind of boosting to mental health or even kind of...
No, I was going to say, I mean, it's quite a frowned on thing, isn't it? For some reason, the kids picked it up, saying, "Oh, that's well sick."
Yeah, and like, oh, so we're doing a thing at the moment with a school who has a problem with saying that, and they want to kind of eradicate the use. So we're kind of doing things like... we're going in designing a kind of full day for them. I'm not going to kind of go more into that, but one of the things we're doing is like asking the question, like, well, what if you replace the word gay with the word Jews, and then you say, "That's so Jewish," like, how does that make you feel? and therefore, like, why is right. gay
yeah,
any
that's,
different?
That's clever, actually.
Or, like,
yeah.
that's so black. Like, it's yeah. very uncomfortable to say that.
Yeah.
And therefore, like, just because it's a turn of phrase to say something that is gay, like, trying to investigate further into what it is.
Mm. Cool. And what about, because you said, you know, you also look after them in things like sexual health and mm-hmm. the like. I mean, what kind of issues are you seeing there that they need your help and support with?
What, particularly LGBT people?
Well, or just in general? Is there a difference between the two?
I wouldn't necessarily. I think, like, as a teenager, sex is awkward and nervous to navigate, and therefore yeah. there's a lot of common issues. We see just sexual health knowledge for age that I see in the South is really quite low.
Right.
So a lot of what I do is like educating people around like how to use a condom, what thing goes where, in different circumstances, and like you know, how to know that someone has given consent. Mm. I may talk about how to make consent sexy, or the fact that like condoms can be sexy and fun, and mm-hmm. not just like a chore that stops you yeah. halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, is it because this is stuff that's not being taught in schools, or because they're not getting the education from parents or guardians, or
yeah, I personally believe it's a bit of both,
right?
Because really, you know, if you're a school teacher, do you want like? Unless you have to, are you going to want to teach those things because you may find it awkward yourself?
But isn't that just as being a bit prudish these days?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, it's something that everybody does, and we know from other countries that the more open you are about it, the less of an issue it actually becomes.
Yeah, but luckily, you know, and luckily people like me exist who are utterly unshockable and utterly shameless, and I'm quite happy to come in and like show people how to use condoms, or like phrases you can use to make consent sexy,
yeah.
or you know, like talk about consent and yeah. Like how to respect people's bodies.
I was going
to
say that, because that's been quite a big one recently, isn't it, about consent and and I mean, how what kind of issues do you see there? Do people genuinely not understand what consenting is then?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of I see around the city, I see, not kind of walking around the street, but in conversation with people, I see kind of people like the impression that if you've had sex with someone before, then it's always okay again,
right?
Or like if you're married to someone, it's okay like to have sex with them despite whether they say yes or no, because you're married and therefore you're good to go at any time, apparently.
And this is something the youth are yeah. saying, is it?
It's something that people are learning from other people.
Yeah.
Right.
And, like, it doesn't necessarily matter whether you're young or old. It's all knowledge is...
Well, no, I know yeah. that, yeah. but we're here talking about youth.
We're here talking about youth, so. Yeah.
I guess the thing is, though, is if youth are educated, then that will spill sort of into wider society, because it's the youth that you want to get, really,
yeah.
isn't it?
And the youth, yeah. the young people are going to be people for longer than the older people, so they're quite a good place to concentrate on.
We hope. I just sort of wanted to sort of just broaden it out a little bit. So in sort of the definition of the Creative Youth Network, it talks about that you accept people from all backgrounds, all circumstances, and to reach their own potential. That's kind of like quite a tagline, isn't it, from your organisation. And what I was wondering was, what circumstances sort of stop people, young people, reaching their potential? You know, what are those circumstances?
So if you come from an economically deprived area, you may not have the same opportunities. Particularly around things like school. Schools allow a lot of access to a lot of other opportunities. So if you're going to a very underfunded school, chances are you don't have access to, like, if I go to school in, I don't know, X underfunded school, and you go to Y private school, you're going to have access to far more opportunities than I do. Also, you know, people of colour have a different lack of opportunities, and kind of systemic racism is a thing. But also things like lack of confidence, because you're constantly told that, you know, if you're from Knowle and therefore you're stupid. Or if you, like, family circumstances may also affect it. So, like, if your confidence or potential can be knocked by your, you know, your parents by, like, a domestic violence suit, for example, so, or those kind of things that can really affect a young person. Yeah.
So how would they know to sort of get in contact with you, as it were? You know, if a young person was listening to this now, or, you know, how would they know to, how can I contact you, you know, the organisation?
How are they likely to find out about you?
How can they find out about you?
We are on Facebook and Twitter. You can Google Creative Youth Network and get right to our local page. We have one phone line, which, quite frankly, I can't remember the number for. I'm going to hold my head, I shouldn't have mentioned that.
But it'll be on the website then.
Yeah, and also if you search on Facebook for Creative Youth Network, a lot of the youth workers have Facebook profiles, so you may be able to connect with someone who's in your area because of the way Facebook sorts people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Well, listen, it's been lovely to catch up with you again. And thanks for coming in to talk to us about it. It sounds like you're doing some really good work, and we hope it helps many of the youth out there. So we will do what we always do. We'll make sure we put all the links and everything up on our website, so that if you are wanting to find the Creative Youth Network, you can do so just by heading across to our site. But for now, thank you very much, Mark.
Yeah, thank you.
Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We're back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's the National Express by the Divine Comedy.
Great tune.
I think Terry was liking that one too, weren't you, mate?
I do like that. I do like that track. It's very, very
so
good.
Yeah, it's I actually hadn't heard it at all, and I heard it on the radio the other day, and I was like, oh, I really like that.
I was at a festival recently where we were doing some karaoke, and everyone sung it along.
It's a brilliant, really great sing along tune. Not like any of this housey grime or slime or
all the stuff that's in the hit parade. So now waiting on the end of the phone I believe is our author Lev. Are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hello. Welcome to Shout Out.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So now a new book, is it officially out yet? Or
yeah, it's out in paperback in the UK today.
Oh, wow. Amazing. So we're right hot on the press then, aren't we?
Oh, yeah, I know. You guys are perfect timing.
So, no, it's called Jack of Hearts.
Jack of Hearts and Other Parts.
I was going to say, I was just looking at the bit at the bottom that said and other parts in brackets. So give us a bit of a synopsis. What is this about for our listeners?
Sure. It's a young adult book, and it is about 17-year-old Jack Rothman, who attends a very liberal private school in New York City, and he is openly gay, and he has a lot of partners. He has no desire to have a boyfriend. He likes his sex life varied, and because of this and because of his reputation, which is perhaps more exaggerated than his actual sex life, a friend of his asks him to write a sex advice column for her blog, and he does so. But then he also starts getting these strange love notes that become more and more creepy and demanding, and eventually blackmail, forcing him to essentially behave as though he's back in the closet, behave in a particular prescribed way that the stalker wants him to behave.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting. Now, Steph, you've had a bit of a read, haven't you?
I did. Penguin sent me a pre-release of the book, Lev. Do you know, I was within the first four pages, I was thinking, this person's quite camp. And then I get into the book a bit further, and there you are, a twink. So it was right. It's so well written for that character. You know, that you can almost, as you read it, you know that it's being said quite quickly and upbeat. And also what I like about the book is the way that the texts are bubbled on the page.
Oh, yeah, I had to, I was very happy they were able to do that. I requested it, and I was like, is this even possible? And they said, we'll figure it out.
They did.
Yeah, texting is such a different medium visually. I felt like if people were going to be texting in the book, it had to look like texting.
Yes, and it does, and it's quite clever.
It looks like your smartphone when you're, reading your text messages, doesn't it? So with the bubbles from either side. So
yeah, and there's some terms in there that I've learned that I didn't know about before. Maybe we should do an A to Z or something.
are any of them repeatable? Can you give us an example or not?
No.
Lev, this is Rose, yet another presenter here. And what sort of market is it aimed at then? I mean, is it sort of the British market or the American market? What age group is it aimed at?
Well, I'd like to think it's aimed at, you know, any English reading market, but certainly it takes place in New York City, and I obviously am American, or doing a really good accent.
Yeah.
And so, certainly there might be a few very minor cultural, I think they say he refers to himself as being a junior in high school, which I don't think necessarily translates perfectly to the UK, but otherwise I think anyone who can read English will be able to find something in it. But my audience definitely was teenagers. I definitely had teenagers in mind.
Okay, so sort of felt 13 up, or...?
Maybe a little older. There's certainly some explicit sexual stuff in there.
Yeah.
Teenagers are so interesting because it varies so much teenager to teenager, you know.
Yeah.
I would say, I think in the UK they're saying 15 and up,
right,
and in the US they might be saying 16 and up.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Well, I'm just reading some of the quotes. I mean, Julian Clary said, this book is filth.
Yeah,
and I was just reading one of the others. It says, dispenses sex advice that could be vital to young adult readers. And that was Matt Cain, who's the author of The Madonna of Bolton. That must be quite nice to read though, when you hear things like that.
Oh yeah, when I hear things like that, it's amazing. And the sex advice column that he writes in the book is actually throughout the book itself, and a lot of those questions I sourced from actual teenagers too.
Right.
So I reached out to teacher friends and parent friends and I said, look, here's an email, they can email me anonymously, just any sort of questions that they have. And usually these were very short questions that I then turned into longer sort of narratives, but the basic questions are still in there. And they come from actual teens, a bunch of them.
Like
to think a lot of teens, one of the characters early on says, you know, they don't teach gay stuff in sex ed.
No,
and that was a lot of what I wanted to sort of focus on in terms of the sex advice column.
Cool. Now, obviously it's out today, but what are the plans? Will there be a second one? Is it going to turn into a series, or is it just a kind of one-off?
I don't know. one can hope. There's certainly potential to explore the world a lot more, I hope.
I mean, are you planning on any sort of literature festival tours? You know, the way these days everybody...
Actually, I have two events while I'm here in the UK.
Okay.
Tomorrow I am reading at the Waterstones in Manchester.
Okay.
I'm speaking with Simon James Green, author of the Noah Could Never books, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's at 6 o'clock, I think. And then on Tuesday, I'm speaking with the man you just mentioned, with Matt at the Piccadilly Waterstones. So that's going to be great. I think that's going to be just an amazing event.
Cool. Well, listen, best of luck with the book. It's certainly provoking Steph a little bit, so I'm sure it's going to be one that she's going to read the whole way through. So
she'll be passing on the details to teenagers in no time.
So, but if you're in Bristol at any point, do give us a shout and come in and actually talk to us live on air in the studio. It'd be lovely to have you here. So, for listeners, I believe it's out in all good bookstores, is it not? And I presume on Amazon and all other places you can buy them.
All usual places, yes.
And that is, go on, you say, it's your book. What's the name of the book for people who want to go buy it?
Jack of Hearts and Other Parts by Elsie Rosen.
There you go. Listen, Lev, it's been lovely talking to you.
Yes, thank you so much.
And best of luck with it.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. Thank you.
So, you're listening to Shout Out. Stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
Oh, there we go. That was a fun interview, one.
Yeah, that was
nice. I was a little bit worried that there'd be something naughty coming.
There is lots naughty in there, but I was just thinking, you know our pack, our cheap pack, was it going to be $29.99?
Oh, you changed your price. Are you on about your become a gay pack?
Yeah, becoming gay pack. So if you're straight and want to be gay, we could take terminology and that could be part of the pack.
Yes.
We're going to have to market this and open up an eBay store, aren't we? Become gay with shout out.
Is this an actual thing, Steph? You're thinking of developing a pack where
no,
people
you
can...
haven't been listening to the show, have you?
I haven't heard so this.
We had one of the adult stores come in, yeah. and they were talking about some of the stuff that they sell, and one of them was it was a gay starter kit.
Yeah.
So then when we had another adult store in, yeah. Steph turned around and said, "Do you sell one too?" And it just totally threw the guy, yeah, didn't yeah. it? I think that was your other half, Steve. He was completely flustered.
Wasn't it? I think he was quite surprised.
Because of that, Steph and Terry have now decided that they're going to make their own shout out version of gay starter kit.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So if you're unsure or straight and want to have a go of being gay,
write to us. Well, yeah, we do. Especially if you look like Channing Tatum, write to us. Oh.
we do get that. We do get the whole, get told it's a choice, don't we? So, and it really isn't a choice.
That's why I'm slightly flummoxed. I've got no idea what you're talking about.
it is a bizarre sort of...
Don't join in, Rose.
No, I won't. I'll object. On moral grounds.
Did you need a gay starter kit?
No, you're right.
So, a couple of quick things. A big hello to Polly and Oliver Carver, listening over in Swansea, I believe. Somewhere. I don't know where. She's
pointing.
Pointing. It doesn't help when you point, no.
And now, of course, that we have Diane on board the team, we need sort of more Welsh input. So if you've got any news stories from Wales or anything like that, or if you are involved in community radio in Wales and would like to take shout out, then
as the toll booths are gone.
Yeah, you literally come here and take it.
Yeah, but it means our radio waves now go into Wales.
Don't know if they have to pay.
When there was toll booths, BCFM airwaves just stopped at the bridge.
They couldn't make it over the water.
We couldn't afford the tolls.
I thought that was what Pirate Nation Radio was. They're on the River Severn, aren't they? And on a ship.
Yes, they are, but they're pirate.
Oh.
They're pirates.
So they're not allowed in, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, they just broadcast anyway. They're pirates, but we're not. We're a legit station here.
Have you ever heard of a Welsh pirate, Andy? No.
All the pirates are Bristolian,
yeah,
Rose.
See?
You
That's
know
what
that.
I mean.
Well, Blackbeard, one of the most famous.
You were the most
ones,
Bristolian person in shout out, so you were a pirate.
Careful. Ooh.
Are you a pirate?
You ever forget? Well, doesn't the parrot give it away? And the one leg? Come on.
I don't know.
I thought you were a Time Lord, not a pirate.
A Time Lord pirate. Time Lord.
That's pirate true. Time Lord.
Yes, but sometimes I'm in a disguise. Yeah. It's the two hearts that does it.
Where were you parked the TARDIS tonight?
Well, you've got 20 seconds if you want to get your event in, by the way.
Okay. It's Mobius. It's at the Tobacco Factory, February the 27th. Real life coupling co-artistic directors stage their deeply personal journey to answer the question, as a gay couple, should they have children? Okay, so that's Bristol Tobacco Factory, Wednesday 27th, 8 p.m.
Sounds marvellous.
Thank you.
Now you can go back to being a pirate.
Thanks.
Pirate Time Lord. Oh dear, how funny.
And can I, if we've got time, hello to Julie Brandon, who's involved in Derby Community Radio, which relaunched last week as Derby Sound. She's great.
So hello to you.
Trans woman and sister to a woman I worked with in Pirate Radio, a long time
another
ago.
Another pirate amongst us.
See, fucking many pirates.
Well done to them. Well done to them. Derby Sound.
So, anyway, that's it for this week. But as always, if you missed anything, you can listen again.
Just head over to iTunes or Google Podcast, or of course our own website, to grab the podcast, shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Next week we're talking about the Palace Film Festival, but from myself, Rose, Terry, Steph and Diane, and Tara has been lurking in the background. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.